Well, so to clarify two things, I wouldn't say yet that we've done a study. What we did is file a public records request to try and get data so that we could examine the issue more closely. And unfortunately, the city's response to that records request indicates that they are really not doing anything meaningful to track police use of stop and frisks. So they, by their own policies, they have a database in which every stop and frisk is supposed to be entered, and state law requires that data about that be reported to the state as well. Unfortunately, the city is way behind in entering that data in the first place, so they haven't entered any data yet for 2013, have entered only about two-thirds of the data for, or three-fourths of the data for 2012. And the way that they're putting the data in is in a way that prevents them from doing any analysis at all. So the only data that they have in the database is the name of the person, identifying information about the person stopped. But all the other relevant information, such as demographic information about the person being stopped, where they're being stopped, when they're being stopped, why they're being stopped, who's doing the stopping, and the outcomes of those stops, all of which would be necessary in order to do any meaningful analysis of the data, are not actually put into the database, but simply exist on paper forms that are scanned and then linked to the record about the person being stopped. So this is lots of effort to create a database that's completely useless. The database is severely out of date, and the Baltimore Police Department has not done any analysis of any of their data, nor could they, even if they wanted to. And so what this shows to us is that this critically important tool in defining police-community relations is not being meaningfully tracked and analyzed at all in Baltimore, and we think that that's hugely problematic.
Bottom line is, you really can't tell how many people have been stopped and whether this has led to any kind of arrests or charges.
Well, so we have some rough ideas. The number has been steadily going up. The most recent data they gave us was from 2012. That showed roughly 120,000 stops, which was a 50% increase from the prior year. I think given the data that they gave us, which showed that of those 120,000 stops, only about 500 people were searched, I think there is substantial reason to question the accuracy and completeness of the data, but even 120,000 stops is a lot. But I think the bottom line is, yes, we don't know what we should know about this practice, and we are calling upon the department to do what its own policies and what state law requires, and frankly, what common sense and good policing require, which is to meaningfully keep track of what officers are doing, to whom they're doing it, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, when they're doing it, where they're doing it, and to really keep track of this.
Is this an issue with other police departments, the surrounding counties, some of the county, you know, Montgomery and PG in the D.C. area or out in Western Maryland?
I think it is an issue for departments across the country, and of course, there's been litigation in New York which revealed widespread abuse of this police tactic focused on racial minorities. I think it's probably fair to say that this tactic is used more often in urban areas than suburban areas, though I think no department is likely to be immune from problems.
The ACLU involved in any legislation here in Maryland? I know there's legislation, litigation in Maryland. Is there? I know there's litigation in New York, and that's been widely publicized. But is any in place right now in Maryland?
Not right now, no.
It's being pondered.
Well, I think the point isn't, are we going to sue somebody? Should we sue somebody? I think independent of the ACLU suing somebody, this is necessary to track in order to have effective policing, lawful policing, and good police community relations. Abuse of this tactic, I mean, this is really where the rubber meets the road in terms of police-citizen encounters. And having a constitutional and lawful police force that is doing what it's supposed to do and doing so in a lawful and fair manner is something that I think police administrators want, that elected officials want, that we want, and that the community wants. And you can't do that without knowing what police are doing.